Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game is streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Sparkling water with a spark, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. By the way, apparently USC has a press conference to introduce Lincoln Riley. USC AD Mike Bond calls this, quote, one of the biggest moves in the history of the game.
Oh, my barf.
Mike Bond says, quote, the sleeping giant is wide awake.
Oh, I'm nauseous hiring that. I was nauseous hearing the sound coming back from the last break talking about how, you know, Lincoln Riley is going to build a dynasty at USC. He didn't even build a dynasty at Oklahoma. What makes you think he could build a dynasty at USC?
Who's best coach in college football right now?
Nick Saban.
Okay, let's put him to the side because there's only one Nick Saban.
Okay.
Who's second best coach in college football?
You could say Brian Kelly. You could say Dabo Sweeney. Could maybe put Kirby Smart in that conversation.
Okay, do you know that two of those three guys were not head coaches when they got their first head coaching opportunity? Or they got this head coaching opportunity?
Yes.
Brian Kelly was a group of five, you know, this was before the group of five, mm-hmm. but he was a group of five head coach at Cincinnati. So, I mean, the funny thing is all these guys are just names. They're all just names. I don't know Billy Napier. I have no idea if Billy Napier is the next Urban Meyer or if Billy Napier is the next Ron Zook. I don't know. I don't know Billy Napier. I covered Charlie Strong when he was at Louisville. And I'll never forget the athletic director at the time, Tom Church, told me. He said, and there was talk about Georgia firing Mark Richt and Florida and firing Will Muschamp and Texas had fired Mac Brown. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, they can talk about all those jobs all they want. There's not a better job in the country for Charlie. And I thought, okay, you know, he's telling me this because it's his job and he doesn't want Charlie Strong to leave. And he told me, he goes, we can pay Charlie like anybody else can pay Charlie. We've got, you know, the expectations here are not the same as they are at Texas and everywhere else. And he didn't need to say this to me, but Louisville's a basketball school. Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is have a decent season and then turn it over to basketball. And everybody cares about basketball. Instead, Charlie Strong, not a great public speaker and not one that was nice with the media whatsoever or really had any clue as far as marketing his program was concerned, goes down to Texas where they have their own TV network. It was never going to work. He was pulling kids from Florida. You're not going to go to Texas and pull kids from Florida. You have to go to Texas to get kids from?
Texas.
Texas. And so I hear all of this. I get all this. But like I've been talking to people. Mark Stoops' name is rumored in a lot of these jobs mm-hmm. right now. And I understand. You know, if somebody came up to me and offered me a big-time job, would I be able to stay at a medium-sized job, but for big-time money? And some guys have the ego to say, hey, I can go do this at the premier job in the country, and Notre Dame has always been my dream. You know, we've heard, how many times have we heard them talk about Urban to Notre Dame? Because they say that like, that's the one job that Urban would go to no matter what happened, because I think Urban's Catholic. And I think Urban grew up a Notre Dame fan and that Urban would take Notre Dame, whatever.
The same thing with Dabo to Alabama.
Sure.
That's his dream
that
job.
That you would take that job no matter what.
Yeah.
Mark Stoops has a great thing going at Kentucky. He's been there for almost 10 years and he has not once found a serviceable quarterback. Not once. They have not been able to throw the ball his entire tenure there. But they get the second best players out of Ohio and they get some players out of Florida. And everybody else in the SEC is so desperate to win championships that they blow up their programs because they want to be Georgia or Alabama. So there's no continuity anywhere. So now if LSU comes up to Mark Stoops and says, we want to pay you $8 million a year to leave Kentucky to come coach LSU, then Kentucky, I'm going to guess, is going to turn around and they're going to offer Mark Stoops $8 million to coach Kentucky at the same level that Mark Stoops has been coaching Kentucky. Well, to me, that's a slam dunk no-brainer. Because if you go to LSU, they're going to want to be in the college football playoff. And when they're not, they're going to fire you. So do you want to coach for the next 15 years at Kentucky and do what you've done? Because Mark Stoops is not an elite coach.
No.
And I can tell you this because I've covered Mark Stoops. He's never going to be an elite coach, no matter where you put him. You can put him at Alabama, And after the fact that he's got Saban's players wears off, which will take about 2 or 3 years, once that wears off, now he's got to go out and go do things his own, and he's not going to win at that level at LSU. And that's kind of here with some of these jobs. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, this guy. You know what I was thinking about Lincoln Riley?
What?
I was thinking Lincoln Riley was running out of Bob Stoops' players.
That's exactly what I thought. I would love to see Lincoln Riley start a program with his guys, with his system, with the quarterback, because he's the quarterback whisperer, the quarterback that he developed from the ground up. Because we saw that with Spencer Rattler. And we saw a little preview of that this season, that Oklahoma didn't look like number 4 team in the country, Oklahoma going to the college football playoff, Oklahoma, because Lincoln Riley no longer has Stoops' players. The quarterback that he was supposed to develop, the quarterback that was God's gift to college football, was on the bench.
Oh, if I was Ohio State.
And trailed Kansas at the half.
If I was Ohio State, I'd be scared to death of what Ryan Day's teams are going to look like when he loses Urban's players. Because all those great players they have right now, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, and a lot of those are Urban's guys now. And guess what? When they had Urban's guys, they were in the playoff and they were in the national championship game, and now they're probably not. And I don't think that that's bad. I don't think that that is a hiccup and then you get back to being what you were. I mean, I think that that's the reality of Ryan Day. You better go get guys like Urban had, because if you don't, I've seen it. Miami in the 2000s, they had Larry Coker. Larry Coker won the national championship, and he was undefeated until the national title game in his second year. He was 11-2 in his third year, and Larry Coker is responsible for running Miami into the ground. So that's, and I will see Lincoln Riley out in L.A. There can be high expectations when you say that you've changed the game and the sleeping giant is now awake. John is up next, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get back to the Titans in a second. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope you're doing well. Just had a question. I haven't been listening too long, but I did pick up when you were kind of complaining about the coaching carousel as far as no one talking about the games. And like I said, maybe you already did this, but just wondering why you don't use your platform to just mention how that bothers you, but then start talking about how awesome the games were. I mean, you're on the radio, you got the platform.
Because
I'll hang up and listen.
Because I don't dictate what we talk about. Thank you for your call. I don't decide what we talk about. I mean, I guess technically I do, but I really don't. You know, because the second you start talking about things people don't want to hear, you lose the platform. And I've seen very established broadcasters that have sat there and said, well, I don't want to talk about what other people want to talk about. And they're not as established anymore after they do that. And this is not like a Jared Stillman streaming service where I am only, you know, I am only looking for people who care about what I care about. There'd be a lot more women's basketball talk on the show. There'd be a lot more baseball talk on the show. There'd be a lot more of that if I got to pick what we talked about. But the reality is we talk about what you all want to talk about. And I'm just telling you that if I ran a college football show, I wouldn't be talking about the great Michigan-Ohio State game. I mean, you could spend 4 hours just on Michigan-Ohio State alone.
Oh, 100%.
But it wouldn't be the pressing topic, and you got to talk about what the people want to talk about. I mean, even this segment where we got carried away talking about college football, I'm like, I probably need to be back on the Titans. I probably need to get back on the Titans. You know, like, I just understand the reality of it, right? Like, you know, I talk about what you want to talk about, not what I want to talk about. Nashville SC lost in penalty kicks yesterday. There's just not a huge market for people wanting to talk about that compared to the Titans losing to the Patriots. So it's not about what I want to talk about. Because if you talk about what you want to talk about, you don't talk about what the fans want to talk about, you lose the platform. And there's just some guys out there who either don't care and will say, hey, I want to talk about what I want to talk about, or don't get it. And I've seen too many guys that have had great jobs, and I think I've got a great job. I have seen too many guys in this industry that have great jobs that lose their jobs because they're not willing to talk about what the fans want to talk about. I've seen it happen in Boston. I've seen it happen all throughout the country. And I will say this. I know I'm not Howard Stern, so I know that I can't just start talking about whatever I want to talk about, and you all will come listen to me. I think we can do that a little bit more than we could have done before, because I think you guys know me a little bit better. But I don't think we can sit there and do Jared talks about whatever Jared wants to talk about. Like, if Rush Limbaugh just decided, I'm done talking conservative politics, I want to talk about cooking, I'm not sure that that would have bode well for his career. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're back to the Titans, I promise. Back to the Titans, 615-737-1025. Are we worried about the Titans? Because I think a lot of fans aren't. And I'm thinking maybe we should be. So we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. TriStar Moving. Those guys are my official movers. I moved with TriStar Moving over a year ago, and it was one of the best decisions that I ever made. I used to hate moving, and I still kind of do, but you don't hate it as much when you got movers like TriStar. They made the entire process so simple, and that's why their motto is TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. My friends at TriStar Moving offer home protection, so they cover your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They're always upping the game when it comes to mover training. They've got a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet as well. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they are on the rise quickly with TriStar Moving because of the high standard they hold. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit that website, nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. Nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.
Fourth and goal from the 2. Motion man is swing. Fake the handoff. Tannehill looking. Guns it. Deflected and intercepted in the end zone. J.C. Jackson is Mr. Pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. We had opportunities. We did some really good things. The turnovers, the fumbles hurt us, obviously. You know, we ran the ball extremely well the whole game. Had the turnovers and then, you know, didn't convert when we were down then. They're tight there in the early fourth quarter. So you put all those together and you put yourself in a difficult situation.
There you go. That was Tannehill. And I don't blame Tannehill on the interception. It was a fourth down, goal to go. Game is on the line, though. I will say this, if you didn't get it, and I didn't consider interception as part of the equation for why they threw the football, you know, like, if you run it, which I have said that Downing's biggest mistake yesterday was not running the football. If you run it in that situation and you don't get it, where does New England get the ball? I believe up by 16 early in the fourth quarter. They get it at like the 1 yard line. So now Mac Jones has to go 99 yards. Mm-hmm. Because they intercepted it, they get it at the 20. You can make an argument that if New England, you know, if you run it and you don't get it and they get it at the 1, you can try to get a safety that will immediately get you the ball back plus the 2 points, which, again, you're down by 16.
Take any point you can get.
Well, what's a safety do for you?
Gets you within a touchdown.
It makes, well, not one touchdown. It makes
two touchdowns.
It makes
me.
It 14. So yes. Now you don't have to bank on 2 2-point conversions.
Yes.
And so, like, that's, I think, a big part of it. But the interception, I don't pin that on Tannehill. I thought it was a bad play call, and I'm not mad that they turned it over. Like, it's easy to look at the box score and say, 5 turnovers, and say, that's the ball game, when in reality, the Tannehill interception was a turnover, but you would have turned it over on downs anyways. And the Blazing game fumble, I think they had 4 turnovers, right?
They had 5 fumbles.
No.
Or 5 turnovers, 3 of which were fumbles, and then an interception, and then...
So they had 4 turnovers.
I thought it was 5, but maybe 4.
So they had 5
fumbles and a turnover, yeah.
But it wasn't the same. The 5 turnovers last week and the 4 turnovers this week, not the same.
You're right. It is 4. Not, it was 4.
It's not the same. So I do think this, though. Like, I heard a lot of... Well, just the Titans needed to get to the bye, and they looked like a team ready to get to the bye, and here comes the bye, and on to the bye, and they need the rest, and they need the guys back, and they gotta... And I think that that is maybe letting the Titans off the hook a little too much. Like, I don't feel that way right now. I mean, I look at the Titans, and I think right now of a football team that is getting real sloppy. And look at the Patriots, and this is a team that has a rookie quarterback, and they're not getting sloppy. They made two big mistakes yesterday, both by the rookie quarterback. One was a ball into the hands of Dylan Cole that he didn't catch, and the other was an overthrow of Hunter Henry. But other than that, they weren't very sloppy. They let you do the sloppy, and then they take care of it after the fact. And that's starting to bother me because obviously we know they were sloppy against the Texans. But they were sloppy yesterday, not only taking care of the football, but they were sloppy tackling the football. They were sloppy with penalties that they shouldn't have had, like not lining up for the first punt of the football game and negating a great boom by Brett Kern. And now you're moving it 30 yards in favor of the Patriots. That doesn't matter if A.J. Brown's healthy, whether or not you can get those 30 yards back that set up the Patriots' first touchdown. It's got nothing to do with Derrick Henry being in the game for you to make a field goal. And the Titans missed two yesterday. And so I would be concerned because they played kind of sloppy against the Colts in Indianapolis, played a great game against the Rams.
Great game.
Played kind of sloppy against the Saints at home. Played incredibly sloppy against the Texans. Played really sloppy against the Patriots. That looks like it's a trend, people. And Derrick Henry would fix some of this, but he wouldn't fix all of it. And if you're going to win the Super Bowl, and I keep saying this, because this is the one thing that I sometimes feel like Titan fans don't listen enough to. If you're going to win the Super Bowl, you can't have a bad day. You can't have a bad game. 2 years ago, the Ravens were 14-2. 14-2. They had the league MVP at quarterback. I don't think they had trailed in a game since October. They had a bad day. Lost Khalif Raymond in coverage. Jonnu Smith made a great catch. Derrick Henry ran all over them. They couldn't convert fourth downs. Lamar Jackson, though, had an interception to start the game. Titans went 3-and-out. Lamar Jackson's moving right down the field. He throws the ball for Willie Snead. That's just a little bit above Snead. Ball pops off of Snead's hands into the arms of Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard runs it down to the other side of the field. Lamar Jackson tackles him by the helmet. Tack on 15 yards. And the Titans are in business. Goodbye, season. Goodbye, 14-2. And that's the thing that I look at when it comes to the Titans is, I think about how does this team get to the Super Bowl, knowing that their quarterback can't bail them out of a tough spot. Kansas City can look at their road right now, which would not be easy. You know, the Titans' road today would be Josh Allen and Buffalo at home, on the road to the Patriots, and then either on the road to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens or at home against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that's today. If the Titans drop another Texan game, then they may have to go on the road for all these games. But the road right now for the Chiefs, they would get Cincinnati and Joe Burrow at home in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I haven't watched Cincinnati play enough, but I know that they just hung 41 on Pittsburgh, and I do think Joe Burrow's a pretty good quarterback. So they would get Cincinnati at home. Then they would go on the road to Baltimore. Then they would play the winner of New England, Tennessee on the road. So Baltimore's road is, or Kansas City's road is going to be emerging Cincinnati, Lamar Jackson on the road, and either the greatest coach on the road or the best player in the game, Derrick Henry, on the road. But if I'm a Kansas City fan, I think, well, I got Patrick Mahomes. So Patrick Mahomes can win those games for me. Like, Patrick Mahomes can go to New England and win a game, and you feel like, hey, why do you think you're going to win? Because they got him. By the way, you saw the Patriots play yesterday.
Uh-huh.
At home, electric atmosphere, yeah. Scored a bunch of points, got turnovers. New England, Kansas City at home, Mahomes versus Mac Jones. Who would you rather have?
Mahomes.
There you go. The Titans don't have that. And the Titans are never going to have that. So you have to make it as easy as possible on yourself to get to the Super Bowl. And that's what the Titans aren't doing right now, is even if their guys are back and they're healthy, Elijah Molden still misses the tackle. Randy Bullock still misses the PAT. Randy Bullock still misses the field goal. Now, maybe Dontrell Hilliard doesn't fumble and Deontay Foreman don't fumble, and instead of Dylan Cole, David Long Jr. does pick the ball off for a pick six.
Which could potentially be 21 points.
But Jack Rabbit Jenkins is still out there to miss a tackle that allows Kendrick Bourne to run in the end zone for a touchdown. Todd Downing still going to get out over his skis and stop running the football like he did in that one drive, or come up with that stupid play call on the fourth down that ended up being an interception?
Would he have stopped running the football if the running backs hadn't fumbled the football?
I don't know.
Because that's one thing is that
he'll never say.
But that was one thing, was that we were so we always wonder, why are they not passing the ball more to Foreman? Is it because they are so terrified of him fumbling the football? And he did it, and it's almost like confirming those concerns. So they thought, they panicked and said, okay,
boy, what a lazy
get the ball out of his hands, and let's just throw the ball.
What a lazy carry by Foreman. And you
protect
could see
the football.
It. You could see it on J.C. Jackson, too. Like, and now the New England Patriots, they are ball hawks now. Like, they want to pop that ball out. Bill's done that for 20 years. Like, and there's one thing when you want to pop the ball out, like, you know, everybody wants to force fumbles and everybody wants to have interceptions, but the Patriots, you know, like, they go after the ball, and they always have. Buffalo is another team that always goes after the football. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he was just carrying that thing like a loaf of bread. I mean, he was just rocking it down and bam. And so, again, sloppy. Tannehill misses the pass to Chester Rogers. Now, I think Chester Rogers screwed it up, and not Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And they'll never tell you who did screw it up, and you'll never know. But I just thought, based upon where the ball went and Tannehill's reaction after it happened. Because, like, Tannehill has made a lot of mistakes, and Tannehill is usually quick to, you know, do that, something like that. Or we saw Tannehill rip Des Fitzpatrick's ass last week on the sidelines. And that's really not something Tannehill does. And everybody saw that and was like, oh, Des screwed up. Des messed up. The look on Tannehill's face after the Rodgers miss was like, you have to be kidding me. Which is more so like, when I screw something up, very rarely do I think you have to be kidding me. When somebody else screws something, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. They're doing what? Like, that was Tannehill's reaction. So I think Rodgers screwed that up. But guess what? If AJ and Julio and all those guys are healthy, guess who's still in the game? Rodgers. He's still in the game. He's been your slot receiver since the first day of the year. So Todd Downing's not giving up play calling even when all these guys get back. Chris Jones, penalty for illegal motion on the Brett Kern punt.
That was just...
There's nothing that has nothing to do with Derrick Henry. So, here's the question for you and the callers. 615-737-1025. Do we think that the Titans are going to be okay because of the injuries, or do we think the Titans need to look in the mirror during the bye week and get these mistakes figured out? Because you can't win in the playoffs doing this kind of stuff.
I think there's two different ways of looking at it. You can look at it as the Titans still have a two-game lead over the Colts in the division, including the tiebreakers. They have a very comfortable lead in the division. They're going to make the playoffs. Almost all of their best players are injured and out and not playing. There's a bye week coming up. You know, all the momentum could potentially be in the Titans' favor, and all of these mistakes, most of these mistakes could be fixed with a healthy Derrick Henry, a healthy Bud Dupree, a healthy A.J. Brown, that a lot of these mistakes will eradicate themselves once those players get back.
That is very wishful thinking.
One way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it as the Titans have been playing sloppy football, and they really got, I don't like saying lucky, but the Saints missed extra points, and that's really kind of the difference between the Titans winning and losing against the Saints at home, and played a pretty sloppy game. And you could look at it as the Titans are beat up, so they need that first round bye so badly, and that is why it is so important to continue to win these games, and they're losing games that they should have won. And I think that I kind of view it as a little bit of both, and I think that the biggest differentiating factor between those two schools of thought could be the bye week. What do they look like after a week of rest? What do they look like when some of these players start to get back and start to get a little bit more healthy?
What if they're still sloppy?
That concerns me.
Here you go. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're to your phones on the Titans next. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 the game.
I mean, I think you're always obviously disappointed, frustrated when you lose. We did some good things. We did some obviously things that are going to get you beat, and that is somewhat frustrating, but can't go on the road, especially against a good team, you know, and do those types of things and have penalties and, you know, start drives with, you know, on the 10-yard line and, you know, penalties on special teams, turnovers, you know. So, you don't have to look too hard on why we lost.
There you go. That was Vrabel yesterday. And I will say this again to Vrabel and the 35 points. This is what I came up with, at least 35. Elijah Molden misses a tackle on the first drive that while the Patriots were in field goal range, mm-hmm. and led to their first touchdown. That's 4 points. Randy Bullock misses a PAT. That's 1 point. Randy Bullock misses a field goal. That's 3 points. Dante Hilliard fumbles the ball. Patriots kick a field goal. That's 3 points. Dylan Cole drops a pick six. Patriots kick a field goal. To me, that's 10 points. Deontay Foreman fumbles the football inside a field goal range. That's 3 points. Jackrabbit Jenkins takes a bad angle on a Kendrick Bourne touchdown. That's 4 points. Patriots were in field goal range. And the terrible play call, fourth and goal from the two on the Tannehill interception, that's 7 points. That's good for 35 points that the Titans either didn't score themselves or allowed the Patriots to score. Back to your phones, 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
One texter texts in and says, no Super Bowl while Todd Downing is the offensive coordinator. Tannehill has walked into the end zone every time we've called the naked bootleg on the goal line. 4 downs, and he never called it. That's insanity. No creativity whatsoever.
So do you think the fans hate Todd Downing? Like I think Downing had a horrible game yesterday. And this is the first time that I have said that this season about him.
I think he made some bonehead calls yesterday. I would say overall, not a great day for Todd Downing yesterday.
But the extreme, overall, the pretty, extreme of can't win the Super Bowl now with this guy.
I'm not there.
It's a little too much for me.
I'm not there yet. If this is something that we had consistently seen from Todd Downing week in, week out, like what is that play that you're calling? There's such an obvious play that you should be calling and you do the exact opposite, which is exactly what they did at the goal line yesterday. Why are you throwing the ball when you can just pass it off and run it in the end zone? I haven't experienced much of that from Todd Downing this season. I'm not there. I'm with the texter that I think that Titans fans have every right to be disappointed in the game that Todd Downing called yesterday. But I'm not at, you know, no creativity whatsoever. I mean, that call's not being creative. It's just a bad call.
That was a pretty terrible call. What's next?
David texts in and says, who would you predict will end up as the number one seed in the AFC?
Okay, that's tough. Baltimore's got a really tough schedule the rest of the way, so I'm going to take them out. Buffalo plays New England, and the Titans are surely going to screw it up somewhere along the way, right?
Oh, but, I mean, haven't they screwed it up enough?
Here's the reality, right? The rest of the schedule, just will they be favored by Vegas to win? Jacksonville.
Yes.
Pittsburgh.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, Pittsburgh just got skunked by Cincinnati yesterday.
I know.
Like,
I don't think
Pittsburgh's
so.
Not having a good season. Like, I want to say Pittsburgh's like 5-6.
I don't think that they will be favored.
Okay, fine. Lose that game. Now that's what, 5 losses?
Yes. Okay. I mean, it always depends too on what happens the week before.
Okay, but let's just argument sake.
Where
just
it is right now, I would say the Pittsburgh Steelers are favored, yes.
Okay. So Pittsburgh,
not by much.
Okay. San Francisco on a Thursday night at home.
I would say it's probably a home favorite for the Titans, like 2.5, 3.
Oh, I think the Titans are so. I think the 49ers suck. Who's after San Francisco? I believe
Houston again?
No,
Miami,
I believe
maybe?
Miami.
They're playing well.
Oh, Titans are favored.
Texans.
Titans are favored.
Okay, so Titans should win all those games except for maybe the Steeler game, and I would argue the Titans should win the Steeler game.
And, I mean, you could, toss it between the Steeler game and the 49ers game.
So. I see. There's no excuse to me to lose the 49ers. There is no excuse to. That team sucks. I watched them play yesterday.
They blew the Rams out.
I don't care about that. The
you
Rams,
don't care about that? I mean, you can't label them as the team that sucks if they just blew out what we thought was one of the best teams in the NFC.
No, sir. That was TD that was arguing the Rams. I said, well, wait a minute. What about these other ones? I mean, I'm not a. I never thought Stafford. In fact, early in the season, I thought I might be wrong because I never thought Stafford was like the answer to the LA prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were treating it like, Dan Orlovsky was like Super Bowl, here they come. And I never thought that. I mean, I watched the Rams. My biggest takeaway, the best player on their offense is the one who's talked about the least. Van Jefferson, the local kid, is the best player on their offense.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
But, I mean, the Rams.
Cooper Kupp's pretty solid, too.
The Rams
Tyler Higbee's pretty solid.
So overrated. But, anywho, I think the 49ers suck. And I think the 49ers are going to just be playing out the string, and it's a short week, and it's, you know, a cross-country flight, and it is no siree, Bob. There is no excuse to lose to the 49ers. And you want to sit there and say, well, hey, football's crazy, anything like that. No, you had that. When you lost to the Texans, that was your, hey, we screwed this one up, our bad, like whatever. But that's gone now. So to answer your question, who's going to end up being the number one seed? Baltimore's schedule's really tough. New England and Buffalo play each other. Buffalo maybe is right of the wrongs.
Is Kansas City right of the wrongs enough?
I don't know. If either Buffalo or New England sweeps the other one, then that team's the number one seed. If not, then it's either the team that wins that division, the Titans or the Chiefs, throw them in there, pick a name out of the hat. Right now, I think I'd have to say Buffalo. If I had to guess, I'd say Buffalo. And honestly, everybody's right there right now. And they're all right there right now because you went and lost to the Texans and turned it over five times. What's next?
Another texter texts into the text line and says something very important. Says if the Titans don't get their act together, they will end up 8-9 in the last two games.
I think
two games they've stunk.
I think Chris Sanders said something like that to me yesterday, like during the pregame show about the, like, you know, you can sit there and tell yourself all you want about, you know, the playoffs and these are going to be hard games to win. And if you're giving away the other team 35 points like the Titans did yesterday, mm-hmm. and I didn't even do that for the Texan game, but if you're just doing that, then Chris is probably right. And of the remaining five games, you probably go 3-2. So if you do that, say you go 3-2, which I'm not sure I would settle for out of court right now, but you're looking at 11-6, and I don't like the idea of going 11-6. The one thing that 11-6 will do is at this point, as we talked about the week that it happened, you win the division. Because Indianapolis is 6-6, and you have the tiebreaker. Which is why that game was so freaking big when it happened. And I was like, if this happens, all you have to do is win three more games and you're to as many wins as Indy can get. And everybody was like, well, what if Indy this or Indy that or Indy? And it was like, no. And so now if you go 3-2 the rest of the way, you're guaranteed to win the division. So maybe I guess you can take that however you'd like.
Another texter texts in and says, here is the hottest take. Yep, book it on this. The Titans are in the perfect storm. In time for the playoffs, everyone, and I mean everyone, will be healthy and playing. They will roll through all the teams on their way to the AFC Championship game. They will get through this. That is lovely wishful thinking. Lovely. And if that's the way that it turned out, then great. Then this texter is right. I'm not going to bet my house on it that I don't own. I'm not going to bet that.
Can they get lined up on a punt?
Maybe. That'd be nice. On a beautiful punt at that. A beautiful punt that was just totally wasted.
I cannot wait for the day that they fire Craig Aukerman. And I got to tell you, if it comes with when they end up firing Mike Vrabel, because eventually Vrabel will get fired or, you know, whatever. I mean, coaches never last for forever. Mm-hmm. So even if I have to wait like 7 years for them to fire Craig Aukerman, oh, I will love that day. Oh, I will love it. I mean, Aukerman, his teams consistently screw the game up. And there's no accountability for Craig Aukerman. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Year in and year out, the special teams wins the Titans one or two games, and they lose them like four. And they just never...
But the ones that they do win are a lot more exciting.
Oh, yes. The ones where they win?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. What else we got?
Another texter texts in to the text line and says, true or false, Brady was to Belichick as Henry was to Tannehill.
Well, Belichick may have the number one seed in the AFC without Tom Brady. And, I mean, basically last year they had to reset the cap, which nobody believes in. Like, Floyd told you guys when he was GM, like, hey, if we keep going for it with this group, eventually we're going to have to pay the Piper. And they did, and they had 2 years where they weren't very good, and then all of a sudden they were back in the playoffs, and everybody's like, Floyd Reese messed up the cap. I'm like, he told you what he was doing when he did it. Belichick said last year, like, guys, we pushed everything in the middle to win with Brady and didn't. Now we have to, you know, reset it with Cam Newton making $1 million. And people were like, Belichick is making excuses. Or Belichick's just telling you how financing in the NFL works. And I say all this to say, I think Bill's going to have an okay career without Tom.
I think that Tom and Bill Belichick had a very mutual relationship. I help you, you help me. And I think that Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, since you've seen Ryan Tannehill and what he's done after Derrick Henry's been hurt, I think you see it's not as mutual as Brady and Belichick.
No, it is not. 615-737-1025. Monday Night Football tonight, not a beautiful game by any stretch of the imagination. But Caroline's will have all of the betting information, and we will do that next. Focus is a presenting sponsor of Reaction Monday, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus Sparkling Water with a Spark, P-H-O-C-U-S. You see, I'm holding up my Focus right here. Your body needs water, and it doesn't need to be boring. So that's why you need to give Focus Sparkling Water a try. It's sparkling water with a spark. It's infused with a boost of natural tea caffeine, so you get clean energy without sugar, calories, or crash. So it's not like the manufactured artificial. If you want to give Focus a try, go to your local Publix where they do have them in stock. So that's any of your local Publix, or go online to Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com, and you can have them delivered right to your door. Enter promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout for 15% off your first order. Focus is also available, again, at your local Publix. That's Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, on the web at drinkfocus.com. Stillman and Company, TriStar Moving, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And by Focus Sparkling Water with a spark, the Titans head into the bye. And what they say is a much-needed bye. I would say it's a much-needed bye for the people that cover the team, because it is 1 week in which there will be nothing to complain about the Titans for, or so we think. But more importantly, we got Monday Night Football tonight. Seahawks and the Washington football team. Woof! It's time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Seahawks at Washington tonight. The spread really is a pick 'em. I've seen it anywhere from about a half to 1.5 to 2. Seattle's favored in this one, -1.5. I'm going to take Seattle -1.5. I know they haven't looked great as of late, but Washington has a really bad pass defense. And I know that's what Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are going to want to do, is throw all over Washington. Washington can score some points now. Tyler Heinicke has looked good, but I take Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll over the Washington football team.
So I got to take Washington. They're at home.
Yep.
So
and they've been on a heater recently.
That is a legitimate cross-country flight for Seattle. Seattle has not played well at all this year with Russell or without Russell. I'm not sure Russell and Pete get along. I know Chase Young's out for Washington, so that's kind of tough for me here. I mean,
Washington has significantly more injuries than Seattle.
I'm going to take Washington. I'm getting the points, I guess, you know, +1.5. I saw it was 2. You know, it's probably somewhere in that range.
It's shifted all around, you know, half to 2.
I will take Washington to win an ugly one tonight, but I'm going to go ahead. Is Chris Carson in tonight for Seattle?
Far as I know. Oh.
He is out. Chris Carson is out for the year.
Ah.
So I don't know who I want to take for any time touchdown scorer. I don't know who I would take in this game for any time touchdown scorer.
You can do Antonio.
I would take Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin at +175.
There you go.
I'm going to take DK +125.
Oh, DK. I'm so done with him. Preds Insiders is coming up next. We will see you live from Bridgestone Arena before the Preds take on Columbus at 2 tomorrow, right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game.